Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigations handed down 13 indictments recently as the investigation in Russian interference in U.S. election carries on. We will be getting up to speed this hour on the latest developments in the Russia probe. But first, let's get updated on where we stand with the winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with my colleague, Keely Baltina. And you count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. Conversations like this one, this hour, getting you up to speed on the Russia probe. We count on you to help get these discussions on the air.
Listener support is the single largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy possible. And Kate's going to tell you about a match that we have this hour. It's impressive, and that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 can be really important.
Match? My ears perked up. I hope your ears perked up. Here's the details. Last hour, we heard from 13 new and returning members. Thank you for those pledges. Right now, though, this is it. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. This generous match is from Urban Land Interests of Madison, and it means that they are going to match every dollar you give up to $5,000.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And $5,000 is a lot of money.
That's a lot of match money right there.
You can double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding, state funding, federal funding, and business sponsors. They're important. And there's another source that's really critical, too.
The single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you, and your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of our funding, and I cannot miss this opportunity to double the money. I love the idea that if you contribute $10 a month, it's really worth $20 a month, and only $10 comes off of your debit card or out of your bank account. When you give, you keep quality, independent news, information, and music on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support the programs you love right now and get a cool new WPR t-shirt when you give right now during this match. It is a two-tone orange design on a dark gray shirt, and it shows how Wisconsin is at the heart of everything we do. It would have been a great t-shirt to wear on Valentine's Day, I think.
Yeah.
Save it for next year. Ask for it with your gift, a $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many good reasons to give to Wisconsin Public Radio, and this drive, one of them is that your donation of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 gift card to a grocery store near you. You'll have five chances to win. We hope you'll donate to enter, but you don't have to donate to win. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You're automatically entered. Check out the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Your donation of any amount right now gets you entered. Here's how to give.
Give at WPR.org, especially if you didn't have that pen handy, or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge and to get it doubled right now with a $5,000 match. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with my colleague Keely Baltina. We're asking for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And that right amount is doubled this hour. We have a $5,000 match from Urban Land Interests of Madison. That match is only good for the next 49 minutes. So as you think about when you want to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, the answer is now. We value your time, and we know you value that too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes, and you can double your money.
So tell us your name, contact information, how you want to give, how you'd like to pay. It's quick. It's easy. Your gift right now, it really helps. And the time is right now during this match, up to $5,000 on the table. Take the next few minutes, support the station that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Special Counsel Robert Mueller this week applied pressure on two former Trump campaign aides to cooperate in his investigation into possible collusion with Russia. His office released another indictment, this one targeting a Dutch attorney who is based in London for making false reports, false statements to the FBI. We are getting up to speed on the Russia probe this hour with the help of Andrew Prokop. He's a senior reporter for Vox who has been extensively covering Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So your piece this week that lays out all of the indictments and guilty pleas in the Russia probe, it really caught our attention because it kind of synthesizes everything. 19 people, three companies have either been charged or have pleaded guilty, and we'll get into the details as we go along, but give us a breakdown of who these people are, first of all.
Sure. So I guess, as you say, there are 19 people, and there are four who are connected to Trump in some way, President Trump. There is his former Trump campaign foreign policy advisor, George Papadopoulos. He was he pleaded guilty in October to making false statements to the FBI. Then there is Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor and campaign aide and friend of Trump's, who pleaded guilty in December also to making false statements to the FBI. Both Papadopoulos and Flynn specifically lied to the FBI about their contacts with people connected to the Russian government. So in Trump's orbit, those are the charges that sort of get the closest to the central question of whether anyone in Trump world knew about or worked with Russia regarding interference in the campaign. Then you have two other former Trump advisors, Paul Manafort, the campaign chair, and Rick Gates, who is Manafort's longtime business partner and was his deputy on the Trump campaign as well. Both of them were indicted last October for a set of crimes that really preceded the presidential campaign. They related to nearly a decade work of lobbying and advocacy that they did for Ukrainian politicians. These are pro-Russian elements in Ukraine, but there, again, it's sort of another degree removed from the central question about Russian interference. They, Manafort and Gates, have been indicted on money laundering and other charges, financial charges, false statements charges that really were about conduct that happened before the campaign and aren't related to that central question. However, there is the question of whether Mueller is using these charges against Manafort and Gates to pressure them to cooperate, make a plea deal, and provide more information on Russian interference. So those are the four Trump advisors.
So let's explore, if you can help us out, with the troll farm known as the Internet Research Agency linked to the Kremlin. What is the story there?
So the Internet Research Agency, they were basically trying to cause chaos by terms of a propaganda effort in America more generally, and in American politics, and in the 2016 campaign. It was sort of a broad, wide-ranging effort as part of a larger initiative that focused on several countries. And they were funded to, at one point, for over $1 million a month, and they had dozens of employees. So what they did in terms, in connection with the recent indictments, is they created fake social media postings to attack Hillary Clinton, to help Donald Trump, but not only to do that. That was part of what they did during 2016, but they also, for instance, supported third-party candidates like Jill Stein of the Green Party, or they are said to have attacked Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz in the Republican primary, Trump's rivals, or they're said to have supported Bernie Sanders against Clinton in the Democratic primary. The indictment assembles all sorts of various posts that they did. And it wasn't only internet posts. They also organized rallies in the United States with Americans, basically. The Americans involved seem to have been, the term the indictment uses is unwitting. That is, the Russians were posing as Americans themselves and organizing Americans to come out to these rallies, gaining followings from Americans on their Twitter or Facebook or pages.
So is this agency still in business? Still in business? Is it still working on projects in St. Petersburg, Russia?
I believe they're still in business. They, you know, it's sort of a secretive operation, so it's tough to get
a handle.
An easy window into what they're doing. But what's interesting about them is that they weren't totally secret. The New York Times Magazine had a big profile on them back in 2015, actually, by Adrian Chen, who did a great job reporting on this group before Trump even became a big player in the presidential campaign. And he described this group's experimentation with spreading false information on social media and mostly unrelated to politics in his article, but he managed to get a fair amount of information on the Internet Research Agency itself and how it functioned. And now Mueller's indictment has only added to that. He names a specific Russian businessman, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is known to be close to Putin, as the main financier of the Internet Research Agency. And then he also names 12 other people who he says allegedly worked for it and helped it spread its misinformation.
Well, and then this past Tuesday, it was announced that a Dutch attorney was indicted for making false statements to the FBI. This person is tied to Rick Gates, who worked for Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, but Gates and Manafort were charged last fall, as you mentioned, with the money laundering and illegal lobbying. So is this investigation, like, the longer it goes, the bigger it gets, the wider the net? What do these indictments really mean?
Well, you know, Mueller's team has been interviewing a lot of people in their efforts to get to the bottom of what exactly happened in 2016 and to investigate any other potential criminal activity that comes to light in that investigation. That was Mueller's initial charge when he was appointed as special counsel. It wasn't just about Russian interference. It was also about any other activity that comes to light. So he has been digging into this this Ukraine business with Manafort and Gates. And as you say, now there is this lawyer, Alex van der Zwaan. He's Dutch, based in London, and he was in. He agreed to plead guilty to a false statements charge this week because Mueller's team interviewed him last November about that Ukraine work that he did with Gates, and apparently van der Zwaan told some lies in the interview. He lied about when his last communications with Gates were, and he lied about deleting and not providing relevant emails, email evidence to Mueller's team. So there seems to be something that he was trying to cover up, and it's not entirely clear what that is yet, but a lot of people have been entangled in this because when the special counsel comes to call, they're not fully forthright and sometimes deliberately lie, as George Papadopoulos and Michael Flynn have now admitted to doing to the FBI. And that is a crime, to make false statements in an investigatory interview with the FBI.
According to Politico this morning, one of President Trump's earliest campaign advisors, Sam Nunberg, is scheduled to meet today with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigators in Washington as the probe goes on. That was according to an unnamed source. Nunberg was an outspoken Trump aide who got fired in 2015 over racially charged Facebook posts. And the President Trump later sued Nunberg for $10 million for breaching a confidentiality agreement. We are getting up to speed on the Russia probe and where it's headed with Andrew Prokop. He's a senior reporter for Vox who's been extensively covering Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. You can ask your questions, join in with your observations, 800-642-1234. What's your take on the Russia probe? What puzzles you? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a bit on the Ideas Network. Special Counsel Robert Mueller investigators have caused a flurry of court activity this past week. We're connecting the dots on the indictments coming out of the Russia probe. First, though, let's get an up to speed on the winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina. And our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this. Getting up to speed on the Russia probe, topics like this that help us understand the world around us. Get it up to speed quickly. Your support makes that happen because listener support is actually the single largest piece of the budget. So give right now in any amount. It makes a difference. We have a match to encourage you. Dollar for dollar, your pledge is doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A match is really exciting. We have that dollar for dollar match in effect right now from Urban Land Interests of Madison. Let's break it down. That means your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. It's pretty simple math, and it's some that you can take advantage of right now. Donate now, double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sure, you know, you can get headlines, you can get sound bites in other places. And where do you go for in-depth discussion?
It's the Ideas Network. I knew the answer to that one, Kate.
Setting
you
up.
You know, here you don't just get that 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask questions. And just for about 34 more minutes, we have this dollar-for-dollar match that is available up to $5,000 in WPR donations right now. That dollar-for-dollar match is ongoing, so you can double your support. You know WPR is a great source of in-depth information, and this is how you show it. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 because it makes it possible.
And there's plenty of match money left on the table. At least about half of that $5,000 is there for the taking. How do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, listening right now during our winter membership drive. And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
So now you can make a habit of giving. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget. That means your support brings you the programs and services you've come to rely on. It's easy to donate. It's easy to double your money. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The 2018 WPR t-shirt is a two-tone orange design on a dark gray background. It shows how Wisconsin is at the center of everything we do here at WPR. Imagine yourself wearing the new t-shirt. How do you feel?
A sense of belonging. There's kind of a tribe thing going on.
I always get a small thrill when I see people out in the Wisconsin community wearing WPR stuff.
I feel proud knowing that people know I support WPR.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt right now. Find out how great it feels to show off your WPR pride. Pledge $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation to get it doubled in support of the programs that you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague, the producer on the morning show, Keely Baltina. We are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, it will be doubled. It will be matched right now. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Kate, we have 32 minutes left to capture all of that match money. And you, the listener, you listening right now, it's your money that is what makes WPR possible. Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this program. That's powerful. And so is a dollar-for-dollar match. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As Keely said, that dollar-for-dollar match is in effect. We have a couple thousand dollars left of those matching dollars. Plenty of time for you to get in on the match. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far. And thank you so much for your support. We're getting an overview on the Russia investigation and the indictments brought forth by Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigators this hour. Andrew Prokop is our guide. He is a senior reporter for Vox who's been extensively covering the Mueller investigation. Getting your insights and questions, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Should President Trump be concerned about where the probe is headed, or is this a witch hunt? How concerned are you about potential Russian meddling in the upcoming midterm elections? Call in 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Jim in Appleton has been waiting. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I guess I'm watching this whole thing, and I think it tends to be look more like a witch hunt. And the reason I believe that is because last week they came out and showed that the Russians were also supporting Bernie Sanders and other candidates. And the reason I think the Russians are doing this is because when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she meddled in their political affairs. And she endorsed Putin's opponent. And if I was Putin, I'd be pissed and I'd do the same thing he did, get involved in ours and show us. And he's probably sitting back laughing right now because we're all tangled up in this thing. And yes, we should be investigating and trying to stop the Russians from doing this in the future, but it's time to put this to rest.
Jim, thank you so much for those observations. Let's get Andrew to respond. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I think it's definitely a possibility that the Trump team didn't collude. There have been no charges filed yet accusing them of any crimes related to working with the Russians on interference. It seems clear the Russians did interfere, but the question is now whether anyone on the Trump team was involved in any way. The closest we've come to that is Trump advisor George Papadopoulos got a tip that the Russians had email-related dirt on Hillary Clinton. We don't yet know what he did with that tip, whether he told other people in the campaign, whether those people might themselves have tried to contact the Russians or work with them. That's possible, and it's also possible that they didn't. That's what the investigation is trying to figure out, really. So I do think that it's entirely possible that in the end there really isn't much there. But, you know, another question that comes to mind then is why Trump and his administration have been trying so hard to discourage investigation into this. Maybe it's just because they think it's politically inconvenient for them. But the other possibility, an obvious one, is that they're trying to cover something up. So I hope the investigation gets to continue, and you know, I don't know where it will lead. I don't think anyone does.
Where they question, though, is to not lose sight is, what is at the heart of this investigation? Is it still about whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia before the election? Is it about obstruction of justice by the Trump administration? Or is it about something else?
I do still think the central question at the heart of all this is whether Trump or any of his aides worked with the Russians in any way to interfere with the campaign. I think that there are other questions that have stemmed from this, like the obstruction question. But, you know, a charge of obstruction would be stronger if it could be shown or that there was something that they were trying to cover up. Otherwise, Trump would have the defense basically that, you know, he really thought he was innocent and that he was, you know, firing the FBI director and releasing misleading public statements about the meeting his son had with a Russian lawyer at Trump Tower during the campaign and other things like that. He can say that he did all this because he really thought he was innocent and that he was just trying to, that he really thought it was a witch hunt. But so I do think that really the question is still about whether there was, one word is often used as collusion, but, you know, I tend to think of it as, you know, working with the Russians in some way, and that could have taken any number of forms. You know, we did just see these indictments of these social media trolls, and there was no allegation in any of the indictments that the Trump campaign knew about this or worked with them. But, you know, that's one way the Russians interfered. And another way that was very prominent and high profile was the hacking and leaking of prominent Democrats' emails. And that's what I personally think is kind of the most important thing Mueller is trying to get to the bottom of. That is the biggest, most high profile way the Russians did try to interfere with the campaign by stealing the emails of the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign chair, John Podesta, and then leaking them, apparently, to WikiLeaks. So we haven't seen any charges related to that come out of Mueller's probe, but we know he's looking into it, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens there.
Let's go to Ed now, who is in Eagle River. Hi, Ed.
Good morning. Yeah, so my thinking is, and I just like your guest comments on this, is that Mueller has to really go after the low-hanging fruit at this time, and Trump himself and those closest to Trump, he would not be able to file any indictments against until Democrats would be in power. I just think the timing of it is critical. Wondering your thoughts on that.
Ed, thanks. Timing, Andrew.
You know, it's interesting. Mueller has moved a lot faster than I think a lot of people expected. When he was appointed last May, I remember the thinking at the time was that this probe could take years before it results in any charges of any kind. And yet, by the end of October, we'd already seen three people charged: Manafort, Gates, and Papadopoulos. Another interesting thing that's happening is that Papadopoulos and Flynn have become cooperators. We have not seen any of the fruits of their cooperation yet. We have no idea what they're telling Mueller, but, you know, I do tend to think that they've agreed to this plea deal and Mueller has made this deal with them for a reason, because they have some information that he thinks is useful to them in this broader investigation. So we have no idea what he's doing with their investigation yet, how long that might take. I tend to think that he won't necessarily wait until Democrats are in power, because his indictments so far, they've been done through the legal system. Congress doesn't really have a say in them. Now, if anything were to involve President Trump himself, though, that would be a different question. There's a heated legal debate over whether it's even possible to indict a sitting president. A lot of experts think that you can't. The position of the Bill Clinton's Department of Justice is that you can't. So in that case, I do think it might be plausible for Mueller to wait until after the midterm elections before releasing whether it's a report to Congress or whatever form it would take about any allegations about President Trump himself.
And we're talking with Vox senior reporter Andrew Prokop. He's with us. He's been covering the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. In his reports, new sealed criminal charges have been filed in federal court in the criminal case brought by Mueller's investigators against President Trump's former senior campaign aides, Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. We're getting briefed on the Russia probe. We'll get back to it in a moment. But first, an update on the winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina. Listeners, that is you, provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're captivated by the conversation about the investigation into Russian meddling into American affairs. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make conversations like this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. You should do it in the next 21 minutes so that you can get money from a match, and then take a few minutes and make your pledge.
Yes, match. We do have a dollar for dollar match up to $5,000. Still match money available for you. Take advantage of it. Great time to pledge because urban land interests of Madison will double every dollar you give. Their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right this very minute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we can get a hold of that match money even faster if you share your passion for WPR by becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. That means a pledge of $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year or more. Double your 9XM Leadership Circle gift. We rely on member support, your support, to make this great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month are important for our future. Help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Glancing up at our leaderboard here, yes, there is still match money available. Yes, you need to pledge right now to get in on the match. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. Here with my colleague on the morning show, Keely Baltina. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. That is why your support during this winter membership drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. You can show your support by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We have that dollar-for-dollar match. Don't leave that money on the table. Your support is so important.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. Bryn from Madison says, I'm highly motivated by the possibility of free food. I wake up most mornings to WPR. Jeff from Middleton says, longtime listener, giving a gift today. So thank you so much, Bryn and Jeff. Now let's hear from you at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. We're getting briefed on the status of the Russia investigation this hour. In light of the recent indictments, Vox senior reporter Andrew Prokop is our guide. He's been covering the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Vox has also reached out to legal experts for their opinion on what these indictments mean. I'm quoting here from Ohio State Law professor Rick Simmons. These indictments say nothing about intentional collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian interference in the election. He says they do not implicate nor exonerate anyone in the Trump campaign. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your read on the state of the Russia investigation? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andrew, as Vox reached out for some legal opinions on what the Mueller probe is doing, what were some of the things that they were telling you? Did you hear some consistent themes out there?
Well, this was a piece by my colleague, Sean Illing, and it was focused on really understanding just what the, you know, those indictments of 13 Russian individuals and three Russian companies that Mueller's team released last Friday actually mean for the investigation. And, you know, there are a bunch of sort of theories being thrown around. One interesting point is that it's highly unlikely that any of these people will ever come to the U.S. to face charges. They're all in Russia. They're going to stay in Russia. There's no way they're going to be extradited. So the question is then sort of why he did this. He revealed a lot about sort of what he knew about what this group, the Internet Research Agency, the so-called troll farm, did in the 2016 election. And I personally think that that is one of the biggest takeaways about Mueller's strategy so far. He's used this charging document to lay out a story about what happened in 2016. He went into a lot of detail about what this troll farm did. He quoted certain emails of some individuals involved in the company. He showed a little bit about the information he had by putting names to the group, naming specific individuals involved, including the main financier. He really put some meat on the bone, and he made it more difficult to deny that there was any Russian interference whatsoever, because there's a lot of specificity here. You know, it's not as simple as that interference was solely aimed at helping Donald Trump. There's also the interpretation that the main motivation was to sow dissent and create chaos in the U.S. political process generally. But what we did see here was, you know, the first charge also was a charge of conspiracy to defraud the United States. And that's an interesting one because it's also the first charge in the indictment against Paul Manafort. There's been a lot of discussion about, you know, is collusion a crime? If collusion happened between the Trump campaign and the Russians, would it even be criminal? And, you know, there is no charge for colluding with someone, you know, in that makes sense in this context. What does make more sense is a charge of conspiracy against the United States. It's a bit of a novel legal theory that's never really been applied this way, but it does seem to point towards a potential strategy going forward, a charge that could be used against other people
Since the 13 Russians and the three Russian companies were charged by Mueller last week, the president has been criticized for his response to the hacks and disinformation campaign in the lead-up to the 2016 election. On Tuesday, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders defended the president's actions. Let's take a listen.
He has been tougher on Russia in the first year than Obama was in 8 years combined. He's imposed sanctions. He's taken away properties. He's rebuilt our military. He has done a number of things to put pressure on Russia and to be tough on Russia.
So Sanders also hinted there would be another rebuke of Russia's actions in the coming days, but didn't elaborate. Is that generally true, or is that just the speak coming out of the White House?
I do think that one thing that's true is that Trump's policy in office has not been as blatantly pro-Russia as it was on the campaign trail. You have to remember, on the campaign trail, Donald Trump was openly saying things like, you know, that we should be more skepticism about the U.S.'s commitments to our NATO allies in Eastern Europe. He was calling Vladimir Putin, you know, a good and strong leader. And all of that seemed to point toward a big, big change in U.S. policy, which in the past few years, at least since, you know, Putin's since tensions have risen between Russia and Ukraine in 2014, the U.S. has taken a much tougher line toward Russia. But we didn't see, you know, a 180-degree change. A lot of Trump's appointments to these top foreign policy positions are more mainstream figures. H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has done a fair amount of business in Russia, but I don't think he's generally been accused of, you know, having like extraordinarily pro-Russian policy views. And then there's James Mattis, the retired general who is Secretary of Defense. And, you know, among all of them, we've seen maybe less of a change than we might have expected from Trump during the campaign.
Let's jump in here with Bernie, who has been waiting in Elkhorn with an observation. Bernie, go ahead.
Good morning. I've paid attention to Bill Binney, who used to be high-ranking in the intelligence area with the NSA, and Ray McGovern, formerly of the CIA. And they both maintained, especially Binney is important, that there's absolutely no evidence that there was any Russian meddling in the U.S. 2016 election. Julian Assange maintained from the start that this was a leak and not a hack. And I think that what's scary here is that there's this constant narrative about Russian interference that is repeated so often, it's taken as fact. And the question isn't whether that happened. The question is, what did the Trump administration have to do with it?
Bernie, thank you for those observations. Andrew, go ahead.
I do think that, you know, there have been a lot of statements from U.S. intelligence agencies that they're very confident, they say, that Russia was behind the hacking of the DNC emails and the emails of Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. You know, how they got to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks after that is a sort of, it's a related question, but it's a little bit of a different question. Emails can be hacked. They could be then leaked to a third party who then leaked it to WikiLeaks. There are all sorts of possibilities, and I don't think the specific chain of events here has been clearly laid out yet. We haven't seen any charges related to the hacks, but, you know, if the charges against the Russian troll farm are any indication, you know, we should expect to see some charges result from this. You know, the U.S. intelligence agencies, they haven't clearly laid out exactly what is the evidence that has so strongly convinced them that Russia is behind this hack. They say they are convinced of this, but they haven't really laid out their evidence yet. You know, in part, potentially, because they're afraid of compromising their sources and methods of how they got this information that Russia was so closely tied to this. But if there are charges in Mueller's probe on this issue, he's going to have to reveal more of he's going to have to show the evidence, basically, if he hopes to prove a case. So hopefully there will be some more clarity on this, if he does find enough evidence to merit charges in the case of the hacked emails.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Andrew Prokop is a senior reporter for Vox who has been covering Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. He's been helping us get up to speed on that investigation. This Hour of the Morning show was produced by Bill Martins. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kedar Cherkent. This is the Ideas Network. And now let's get up to speed on the winter membership drive. I'm joined here by my colleague Keely Baltina. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. And thank you to your support. Listeners provide the single largest piece of the budget when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this program possible. You make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
We've had a really enlightening conversation about the ongoing investigation of Russia and American politics, and it's conversations like this that are listener-supported. When you give to WPR using WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this conversation and many other hours of conversation possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take just a few minutes, and make your pledge.
The cool thing is we have made our match this hour. We have made the match from Urban Land Interests of Madison. Thank you so much. There is still room, though, for your contributions. Let's keep the ball rolling. Keep the momentum going. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. That means your monthly gift automatically renews every year. You never forget about it. You never have to be reminded about it. And whether that's $10 a month or $100 a month, any amount you choose, you can get started now. It'll feel great at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Yes, you are in control there. You're in the driver's seat. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge right this very minute. Good morning. I'm Kedar Cherkent here with my colleague on the morning show, producer Keely Baltina. We're asking you for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You are listening to WPR on your way to and from work every day. Maybe it's on while you're making supper.
Yes.
You've got it, right? You've got it streaming some on the weekend.
Yes.
You are listening to hundreds of hours a year.
If you've never given to WPR before, make that change today. Make your gift today of, say, $10 or $20 a month for hundreds of hours of listening. That makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in addition to funding the programs, your pledge of any amount gets you entered into a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card, and we'll pick five winners. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. And if you're not a sustainer yet, Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And by the way, if you are a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.